D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you. The Tennessee Titans have one more game left. You're about to get your Sundays back, people. But the Tennessee Titans, before that, have to take on the Jacksonville Jaguars in Duval on Sunday at noon. The Jaguars have an opportunity to win the AFC South. All the Jags have to do is win. And I believe the Jags still have an outside chance of clinching the number one overall seed in the AFC. I don't think it's likely to happen, but it's on the table. And, of course, the breaking news right when we came on the air today, and we'll continue to discuss this, 615-737-1025, courtesy of our friend Teron Davenport. Tennessee Titans GM Mike Borgonzi will now have final say over the 53-man roster, and he will spearhead the upcoming search for a new head coach. Controlling owner Amy Adams-Strunk said in an open letter to fans on Friday. So we will take your reaction to that as well. But let's talk about the game. The Titans, 3-13 on the season, one game left, a motivated opponent. Cam Ward, four consecutive games with multiple throwing touchdowns, and keep that in mind because that will come up when we take it to the bank at the end of the show. But Derek, as this no good, horrible, very bad, upsetting, frustrating, all of the bad adjectives, now that the season is about to end mercifully, what do you want to see from the Titans in their season finale against the Jaguars on Sunday?
I just want to see them continue to fight. We understand the lack of players they have on defense, especially because of all the injuries. But it seems like the defense just keeps fighting. Doesn't look great, but they keep fighting. We need to see that from the offense. We need to see that from the team in general. The offense has played at least Cam Ward. We've seen some development in what he's been able to do, whether it be, wins against Kansas City, or losses against San Francisco, or, last week against New Orleans where he played well. That's what I want to continue for him to see. I want to see them try new things. I want to see them put guys in position where they have a chance to succeed. Some of these younger guys continue to – I want to see them get Gunnar Helm more in a game this week as opposed to last week.
That's he's been ruled out.
He has been ruled out.
Oh, my goodness. So,
yeah. So there's some we talk about it, guys. could play, but so there's a lot of outs. Yeah.
But I just want to say
Hooker's not going to play.
Gunnar Helm is out. Yeah. Jalen Armour Davis is out. Arden Key is out. Van Jefferson is out. Amani Hooker is doubtful.
Yeah, I just want to see this team continue to fight. Continue to develop. I want to see Cam continue to.
Who's going to play secondary? I'm sorry, Derek. Who's going to play secondary on Sunday?
I have no idea.
You, me, Willie.
You might be pretty good
David
at it, Derek.
In there too, as well.
Oh my God.
Yeah, but as long as for me, it's not necessarily about wins and losses right now. And I know there are majority of the fan base probably wants them to lose. I don't think they can go no lower than fifth and no higher than what, third.
Let me pull up tankathon.com. Yeah. Hold on a minute.
But either way, I just want to see this team continue to develop, the quarterback continue to do some of the things that we've seen him do the last couple of weeks and build on that.
Willie, we've been talking, of course, all season long about Cam Ward and his progress. We've talked about the tough schedule he has facing some. Not some, many of the top defenses in the NFL. He has made progress. If you just look at before the coaching change and after the coaching change, he's completing more of his passes. The touchdown to interception ratio is much better. He's making more big time throws. He's not being sacked as much. He's getting pressured, but not turning them into sacks as much. There are elements here of Cam Ward's game which are encouraging. So I think it's important for him to continue that to end the season, go out on as high of a note as he possibly can. And last week was an interesting game. We talked about this at the beginning of the week. I thought the highs in the game last week against the Saints were perhaps as high as they were all season long. The highlight reel plays, the scramble plays, all of that. Meanwhile, I think the lows may have been pretty damn low. Again, five turnover-worthy plays, according to Pro Football Focus, last week against New Orleans. So I think it would be good for Cam Ward to have another solid outing to give Titans fans something to grasp onto as the season ends.
I'm writing this game off, honestly.
Okay.
I'm not expecting anything good to come out of it. I'm not going to panic if it goes really bad because it's likely to. This is a Jaguars team that's on an absolute roll. Unless they completely choke, this is going to be a very one-sided game. And it could look ugly. And I don't think that means that the last impression needs to be. Remember last year's game was just a joke, the last game of the season against the Texans. The Titans, they shut a lot of people down. Who was even going to be playing quarterback? Remember, they mysteriously put Will Levis back in there. I don't know what's going on. So this one, I'm not really counting in the big picture of things. Mm-hmm. I would like to see them be competitive, Mace, but I'm not sure that it's realistic unless the Jaguars are just so tight that they play awful. Mm-hmm. I mean, they should just roll the Titans the way the rosters are looking here.
Here's your weekly Tankathon update, courtesy of Tankathon.com. The Tennessee Titans are projected to pick fourth in the NFL draft behind the Raiders at 2-14, the Giants and the Jets at 3-13 each. Arizona is right behind Tennessee, also at 3-13. Then Cleveland and Washington at 4-12 apiece.
So the worst they could finish
fifth
is with the fourth pick if they lose?
Fourth or fifth?
I'm going to have to do some research
because
on this.
Because if Arizona wins, they lose. I mean, Arizona loses, they Titans win, then it would fall.
Hold on. Okay.
I will
look this up. Okay. Hold on a minute here. Tankathon has a strength of schedule tiebreaker rooting guide. I love this. What does Tankathon? Everything. They do everything. So I put in Tennessee and Arizona here. It says, let's see, if Tennessee wins versus Jacksonville and Arizona wins versus the Rams, which is not going to happen, both finish 4-13. I don't understand this.
Let's look at a scenario math in which they lose, because I think that is way more likely. What's the best they could, the highest they could pick if they lose?
The highest they
could
pick.
And what's the lowest? I mean, what's the range?
Well,
it has to be three or the highest is three.
Well, if they lose and they're 3-14, if the Giants and the Jets win, they'll fall back. The Raiders would be, if the Raiders were to win, they would be 3-14, but they would have the worst strength of schedule. I'm trying to do this all as quickly as I can. If I had to guess, I think the highest they could finish is second.
Okay.
And the lowest they can finish, I have no idea. I don't want to tell people the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Right.
But they're going to be up there.
Yeah, they can't get the number one pick.
No, they are. Yeah. They can't do that.
The Chiefs are playing the Raiders. The Chiefs have completely shut it down. If the Raiders somehow win, which they could, they're at home. They're only a 5.5-point dog.
Raiders don't want to win that game.
I know they don't. They certainly don't. But remember what happened last year, the Joe Milton thing. So something,
yes,
something funky happens in these games. It never fails. Even if you're not, quote, trying to win, a guy could go out there and have a great game like Milton did. So if the Raiders and the Titans are both 3-14, the Raiders still,
yes, because they have the weaker strength of schedule. They have the weaker strength of schedule.
They can't pass the Raiders.
I think the Raiders are more or less locked into the number one spot. By the way, the Giants host the Cowboys. The Jets travel to Buffalo. Arizona is at the Rams. Just for your rooting guide.
Look, Dallas is only a 3.5-point favorite at New York against the Giants. So that tells me they're shutting some guys down. I don't know if Prescott's playing or whatever, but that's a crazy line for how bad the Giants are. Mm-hmm. So who knows? Like something wacky will happen in one of these games.
Absolutely. One text.
Who knows? Maybe it'll be the Titans games. Maybe Cam Ward will have a great day and he will put pressure. That would be a great thing for him to try and spoil something for Jacksonville.
Yes.
That'd be a great feather in his cap. I just don't know if they have the weapons defensively or offensively. You're taking Helm away. They have been blocking well up front. And that should help. But this is a really, really tough front, right? They dominated in Nashville, the Jacksonville front. They were all up. They were all in that backfield throughout the day.
One texter says, hey, Titans ain't much to talk about, but I wanted to give a shout-out to Mike McCoy, who has made the best out of a horrific situation. Any chance we keep him around as an assistant or something in case we need to fire the next coach?
He gone. He gone.
Yeah. Again, major substitute teacher energy from Mike McCoy. He was there. The Titans needed someone to babysit the roster for a few months. He did about as well as I would have imagined. Thank you for your service, and go do something else.
Somebody may hire him to do something else, but nah, the Titans, and it's clear now that they've set the pecking order or the structure of, you know, GM and whoever else, it seems like, yeah, McCoy, thank you for your services, but we're going to move on, as you knew.
All right, so ESPN here has a breakdown of what it would take for a couple of teams to secure the number one overall pick. The Raiders will clinch the pick with a loss, easy enough, mm-hmm. or a Giants win, or losses by three of Atlanta, Chicago, Cleveland, and Seattle, okay? The Giants would clinch the number one overall pick with a loss plus a Vegas win plus 1.5 combined wins. A tie would count as half a win by Atlanta, Chicago, Cleveland, and Seattle.
Oh, man, that gives me a headache. Yeah,
that's why I wasn't going to try to do the math live on air. Jess says, I thought I heard on an earlier segment that the lowest we could finish is 7th. I mean, look, the Titans, regardless, are going to have...
I don't think they can go that low.
...are going to have a top pick in the NFL draft. It's not going to be the number one overall pick, which I know is upsetting to a lot of you because the Titans certainly could use the help. But another thing, though... guys, that I do want to give Cam Ward credit for, mm-hmm. as our friend Teresa Walker of the Associated Press points out, is that Cam Ward is expected to start on Sunday, and it would be his 17th game. I'm also going to give myself a pat on the back because when we did our preseason Titans questions, which I am sure we will review them next week, I said I took the over on the starts and said that Cam Ward would start every single game. Mm-hmm. So I got something right for once. Congratulations
to
me.
You did. Some of the other ones, Adam, I'm not sure you're going to be as excited to review. But
all right. Well, we'll get to that next week. As Teresa Walker points out, this will be just the 7th season a quarterback started every game since the franchise arrived in Tennessee in 1997. Steve McNair started every game for the Oilers in 1997 and 1998 and again in 2002 for the renamed Titans. Matt Hasselbeck started all 16 games in 2011. Ryan Tannehill started every game in both 2020 and in 2021. So incredibly impressive. Say what you will about Cam Ward. We know a lot of you have differing opinions, but Derek, the fact that Cam Ward stayed healthy despite the fact that he was sacked, 50-plus times, mm-hmm. is a testament to Cam Ward. So we do need to give him credit for that.
Yeah, you do. And I think you give credit to the offensive line toward the latter part of the season and doing a better job at protecting him and Cam doing a better job at recognizing things and not taking the necessary hits. I don't think he ever took a big hit in the pocket. There may have been one. But outside of that, I think the other hits have just been takedowns. But even in that, you don't want to twist the ankle or knee or something like that. That's going to put you out some games. And that's best case scenario other than not getting hurt. But, you know, I think he's matured in the pocket. And, you know, playing all 17 games is crucial for his development because I think a lot of times – one hindrance to a quarterback's development, it could be him not being available, him starting, then, you know, getting hurt or something happening and then end up putting him on a bench, or he ends up missing games because he got injured. But with Cam, that didn't happen. He took every snap underneath center. And he was able to learn in the process and able to grow. So I think this is a really good thing, because I don't think there's much that he didn't see, considering the defenses that he played. I don't think there's much he didn't see throughout the season. And some of it he handled well. Some of it he still has to learn. But he was able to see it. Why? Because he was out there. He was underneath center. So, you know, that's a big, you know, feather in his cap as far as being available for his team.
That's an interesting list, Willie, of quarterbacks who have started every game for the Oilers, Tennessee Oilers / Titans franchise. Steve McNair, Matt Hasselbeck, Ryan Tannehill, Cam Ward.
It's not as easy as people think to be out there every week. So I agree. Durability is a skill and should be considered that. So that's encouraging for Cam Ward. And like D-May said, he's been able – you get reps. You get reps that mean something. The more you see it, the easier it gets to see it the next time it comes around. So hopefully there will be a big residual down the road.
Let's go to Trey on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Up, Trey's gone.
Whoops.
Sorry, Trey.
Trey, call
back.
Me. Don't worry about
Trey, call back. You know Trey well. 615-737-1025. The Titans play their final game of the season Sunday afternoon in Jacksonville. What do you want to see from the Titans in their season finale? 615-737-1025. We'll take your reaction, plus a lot of gigantic games in the NFL in Week 18. We'll discuss those coming up next as well. 615-737-1025. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.
Yeah, along those lines, I know the season probably hasn't gone how you dreamed at the beginning of it, but to be out there every snap of the year and see all the different looks and go through the ups and downs, how much do you think you benefit long-term from what you went through this season?
I think it's going to be able to be a key reason why I think I'll end up where I will be. Just from seeing everything to playing with different people each and every week due to injuries. And I think just continue to get me through, you know, just my journey to, you know, being a high-level quarterback and being a guy that, you know, we can throw the ball a lot and win a lot of games.
That was Cam Ward discussing the fact that he is expected to start his 17th game on Sunday against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Before we get to the slate of games, the huge games this weekend, first on our text line from Gunner, spelled like Gunner Helm, but I don't think it's Gunner Helm. I just want to see Cam, Aya Manor, and DK remain steady. If Femi finally plays again, I'd like to see him make a play. I think Femi Oladejo has been ruled out. The defense is what it is. Just show the rookies staying steady throughout. I wish Gunner was playing. That's just a badass name. From Gunner. Let's go to Trey. He's called back. Hi, Trey. How are you?
Good. How y'all doing?
Good.
Good.
Hey, Mr. Willie, you got to be a little bit more optimistic. You can't just be saying, oh, they ain't got no chance to win. They got a little bit of chance to win, right? Lord help.
Come on, Willie.
You're telling me there's a chance. There's always a chance. There's always a chance.
Hey, I know. Hey, but I just want to say I'm with Derek. I'm with the OG because I feel like that they need to win this game. They should win this game. I don't know if they will win this game, but it's possible they can win this game. So I want them to try to go out there and win the game. I know what the offense can do. You know, like I've been saying before, if they can hit 20 points, they can be in the game. Now they've improved and they progressed in that. You know, DK doing well. You know, I would like to see him get the ball a lot more than what he has been getting it. You know, because he's kind of like the spark plug that drives all that. And, you know, Cam, he's making better decisions back there. You know, as far, you know, yeah, he do a little flippy flop here and there. You know what I'm saying? But that's normal. But it seems like to me, the game is slowing down a lot more than what it was in the beginning, which is a positive. You know, I've been hard on him. I've been real hard on him because I see the potential, and he's tough, too. You know, he don't get hurt, and I love players that don't get hurt intentionally doing dumb stuff and getting hurt. So I just want us to go out there and win this game. And y'all, Mr. Wheeler, you got to be, man, come on, man.
All right, you've inspired me, Trey. I've got hope. Okay, there's always hope.
Thank you for the call, Trey. I will say, I think
that's
a lot of—
That's your new name, too, Mr. Willie.
Mr. Willie. Not Coach Willie.
Yes.
Not Willie Donick. Mr. Willie.
Well, he's not being optimistic. Right. Mr. Willie.
That's what I tell my son to call Willie. Mr. Willie. Look, some of y'all could take a lesson from Trey. Trey, as he said on the call, has been very tough on Cam Ward. But you know what? Over the course of the season, Trey's mind has opened a little bit. Maybe he's seeing things in Cam Ward he didn't think he would. I think that's a good way of going about it. So good for you, Trey. There are some gigantic games this weekend. First of all, let's just talk about the game here. This is not a gigantic game for the Titans, but it is for the Jaguars. NFL.com spells it out quite well. Jacksonville can rise as high as number one in the AFC or fall as far as seventh, depending how the weekend plays out. The most likely outcome is to clinch the AFC South, which they can accomplish with a win. And they would slot into the three spot, most likely. They do have the opportunity to be the number one seed. They have to win, and both the Broncos and Patriots have to lose. So unlikely, but the Jaguars still have a path to the number one seed if they win and the Broncos and Patriots lose. And of course,
sidebar though,
yes,
be aware that the Chargers, who play the Broncos, are resting all the guys. Justin Herbert is not playing.
All the guys. Not some of the
all
guys.
All the guys.
Not most of the guys.
All the guys.
All
as
the
many
guys.
As you can. You know, you can only rest so many because you only have 53 guys. But Justin Herbert is not playing. So Denver is favored by 12.5 at Mile High. Remember, Denver last year got to play at Mile High to get in the playoffs, and they played the Chiefs, and the Chiefs rested all the guys.
All the guys. So anything,
like
is anything is possible.
Anything is possible. Anything is possible. Anything is possible.
NFL.com gives that a 3% chance of happening. The Jaguars winning, the Broncos losing, and the Patriots losing, so that Jacksonville has the number one seed.
And who do the Patriots play?
Who do the Patriots play? I don't know.
Yeah, me either.
The Patriots play the Dolphins.
No.
Not a good team.
No, not at all. Let's talk about one of the marquee matchups this weekend, one that Derek Mason is intimately familiar with, the Steelers and the Ravens. Winner take all. Winner wins the AFC North. Loser goes home. Derek Mason, your read on this rivalry that you know quite well.
Well, it's going to be a hard-fought game, I tell you that. I wouldn't be surprised. I would be surprised if it's a blowout either way. Lamar Jackson is playing this game, but if Baltimore wants to win, they got to get a ball to Derrick Henry. That's tried and true and tested. If they want to advance, at least it needs to start. As good as Lamar Jackson is, but he hasn't been the Lamar Jackson we've seen in previous years. Injuries have slowed him down. He's been in and out of the lineup, but you can always bank on him, you know. Listen, I would put my odds on him to make a big play than not to. But if you want to have a chance to win this game and give yourself a realistic, then it has to run through Derrick Henry, especially this time of year. Pittsburgh dealing with their injuries. Their star receiver, DK Metcalf, isn't playing another game because of his, you know, situation.
Because he smacked a fan.
Yeah, the situation on the sideline being just dumb.
Dumb.
I'm going to call that dumb because that is dumb. And it costs you a lot of money being dumb. But we saw what Pittsburgh wasn't able to do without DK last week. Now they're going up against a Baltimore team playing better defense. I'm not sure if Pittsburgh's going to be able to move the ball much through the air this upcoming week. But Baltimore, hey, listen, I've seen Baltimore play like world champs, and I've seen them play like the Titans. Which team is going to show up?
Willie, they're the one team that has the most riding on this weekend is the San Francisco 49ers. The San Francisco 49ers play the Seattle Seahawks. The winner clinches the number one seed, a first-round bye, home field advantage throughout, and the NFC West title. And here's the kicker for the 49ers if they win. They will play all of the remaining games, including the Super Bowl if they make it there, at Levi's Stadium. So if they win against the Seahawks, the Niners aren't going anywhere for the rest of the season. If they make the Super Bowl, they'll be playing it at home. So a huge game for the Niners, who have been playing like world beaters lately.
But the Seahawks have been playing really well.
Yes, they have.
Also, the Seahawks are favored in that game. So that ought to tell you something. So that's going to be one heck of a game. The 49ers, I give them full marks for all the injuries they've had. Remember, Brock Purdy missed a lot of games. And a guy named Mac Jones, who was written off, did a nice job to keep them afloat. And they could be the number one seed. That is in maybe the toughest division in the league. So kudos to the 49ers. But that's going to be a great battle. And Sam Darnold, what does he get to do? Remember his
same situation a year ago.
Same situation as a year ago. So you win, the Seahawks are sitting pretty. If you lose, he has a chance to have the same scenario unfold as it did last year in Minnesota.
Right. The Vikings played the Lions in the final week of the regular season with the same situation. Winner wins the division, number one overall seed. The Vikings lost. They went on the road. They actually played in Arizona because of the wildfires in Los Angeles. So they played in Arizona on the road against the Rams and just got throttled. And Sam Darnold has had another fabulous season, but the knock has always been about Sam Darnold. He can't win the games when the pressure is on. So this is a huge game for his reputation as well. So we'll see what happens in those games. One texter says, if the Steelers don't make it, do you think Aaron Rodgers will retire? I think he's already said he's going to retire at the end of the season. And quite frankly, I think he should. I've seen
what,
enough.
And what do the Steelers do after this season? Like
Mason Rudolph, baby.
No.
They've got decisions. They've got decisions.
He's still on the Steelers, right? Went to the Steelers?
Yep. Yes. Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, I don't know. They're going to need to get one of those reclamation project quarterbacks.
They got to find a quarterback.
Yeah, D-Mace, you talked about Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry has 1,469 yards and 16 touchdowns. I mean, can we just say, I have to,
remarkable.
It's incredible. And would we be surprised if he has 150 yards tomorrow? So we're talking he could have 1,600 yards again.
It's remarkable, man. I think at the beginning of the season, did I say he would have 1,500 yards again or 14?
I can't remember.
I think you said 1,500. I do think you
and
said 1,500.
And he's damn near close to having 1,500 again.
He's going to get it.
And end up getting, man, this dude's a machine.
And I will say, and you know this, mm-hmm. Derek, because you did it yourself. There's a huge Tennessee to Baltimore pipeline. And there's just something about Derrick Henry in those colors that just looks right. Anytime I see the Ravens playing on TV and I see Derrick Henry in the purple and the black, I'm like, yeah, that looks right. Just like when you put on the purple and black, I'm like, yeah, I see highlights of Derrick Mason with the Ravens. I'm like, yeah, totally makes sense. Same thing with the Ravens. It just fits Derrick Henry, which is sad for Titans fans, but it does fit for Derrick Henry.
Yeah, it's just remarkable how he's been able to, you know, keep himself as, if not the top. He's the best runner, regardless of, you know, who else is out there. If you're just talking about just running a football, he's the best runner of the football we've seen, well, at least I've seen in a very long time. And the durability is like no other, especially at that position. The only time that he really missed games was when he was here, when he broke his foot, but then end up coming back for the playoff game. But beside that, he's been durable, he's been available, and he's just been a complete monster. Even when it seems like he's not having a good season, you tell me the numbers, and I'm like, he has 1,400 yards? Good Lord. I thought it was like somewhere around 1,100.
Derrick Henry has had modest career numbers against the Steelers. He is 1-5 in his career against the Steelers. Mm-hmm. 106 carries, 503 yards, 3 touchdowns. That's an average of 4.75 yards per attempt.
Now that's of course, a staple of the Steelers going back decades, right? They are as good as anybody over the years of neutralizing the runner, right? They would rather lose the game than let a guy run for 150, 200 yards.
One texter says, is it just me or did Matt Nagy just become the most likely coach next year? We will talk about this more next week again with the news today that Mike Borgonzi, he's in charge. He picks the players now. He's overseeing. He's leading the head coaching search. We did talk about this at the beginning of the show. now that Borgonzi is in charge of the coaching search, do people with ties to Borgonzi move up the list? That includes Matt Nagy, who is the offensive coordinator of the Kansas City Chiefs, the former head coach of the Chicago Bears, and they do have a personal relationship. There was a great story by Dan Pompey in The Athletic about Matt Nagy earlier this week. We will talk about that next week. But yes, Matt Nagy is certainly on the list. One texter quickly says, it was asked on a different show, but if Derrick Henry is inducted into the Hall of Fame after his career, do you think he would be introduced as a Titan or a Raven?
I think he'd be introduced as a Titan or both. I mean,
I don't know.
They don't really do that.
No, yeah, it's not the same like in baseball.
It's not like
baseball, you
go
you gotta
in,
have
yeah,
the hat
it's
on
not like you go
you
in as a
yeah.
member
well, let
of
me, let me rephrase the
Titans
question.
Or the Ravens.
Let me rephrase the question. When his career is over, do you think people will most associate him with the Titans or the Ravens?
Depends on if they win the championship.
That's a big part of it.
If he wins, if he gets to the Super Bowl and wins it, or if he just gets to a Super Bowl, I think people will remember the Super Bowl and attach the Super Bowl Baltimore Ravens yeah. to Derrick Henry. I mean, people here will know he spent 8 years here. I think it was 8 years, somewhere around there. But if he spends another year or two in Baltimore while winning a Super Bowl, I mean, it would be hard for people to look at him not a Raven.
Yeah, I mean, the championship would be the cherry on top.
Yeah.
If he wins a title with the Ravens, the question is, if he doesn't win a championship with the Ravens, who would he be most associated with?
I think it still would be the Titans.
I think it would be the Titans in that scenario.
Yes. 615-737-1025. We will take your thoughts on the upcoming week in the NFL. Some gigantic games this weekend. Can't wait to watch them. I'm sure you can't either. 615-737-1025. We will wrap up the week by taking it to the bank. Plus, we talked about this at the top of the show. Derek Mason said something certifiably insane before the show that we were going to talk about, if not for the breaking Titans news. And we're going to talk about it after we take it to the bank coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingy, 1025. The game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025. The game. As always, we will wrap up the week by taking it to the bank. Now, it's been a couple of weeks since we did this because we haven't had some Friday shows lately. So David's about to recap our most recent picks, which were from a few weeks ago. So, David, go right ahead.
You have the stage.
So sorry, I had to get all the.
That's okay.
I had to dust off the dust from.
Yes, it's been a minute.
So the last time we played this, we had Titans, where the Titans break their 11-game losing streak at home against the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, Adam, D-Mace, you guys said yes. Me and Willie were the in denialers about the
skeptics.
Titans. Yeah, the skeptics, some would say. And so you guys got a point for that.
Good.
And then we said Vandy men's basketball make 10.5 threes against Wake Forest. Me and D-Mace, we got that. Adam mm-hmm. and Willie did not.
Come on, Willie.
How many did they hit?
I believe.
Like 19?
Yes.
they had 10
like, I think they
half.
Had it at the half. They
literally, we were texting.
Absolute barrage.
They had 10 before the half.
Yes. And if you missed it, we did catch up with Vanderbilt head basketball coach Mark Byington earlier in the program.
Yeah, if you missed that.
You can listen to it now. It's on Audio Boom right now.
Excellent. Excellent. So what about our individual selections from a few weeks ago?
Now, Adam, you said that the Panthers would beat the Bucks. That did happen. And
sure
then
did.
You said Miami over the Aggies.
Yeah.
And you got that. You made sure to let me know that the degree of difficulty, and I did make that a note. So you did get points off of that for the degree of difficulty.
So how many points did I get?
You get 8.
Whoa!
8 total points for 73 in totality right now. You are right now in second place.
As I always say, hot diggity.
I don't know why, but it was just so
all
funny
right.
right now.
Hot diggity.
All right, hot diggity.
All right, who's next?
All right, so Willie, said Bama minus 1.5, and you got that. And then you said Tulane will cover plus 17 and a half. That didn't happen. That did not happen, unfortunately. That was a BTA.
For the leader. Lame week.
But hey, you still have the lead. You have 87 total points. You got 3 points from that week, but you have 87
They're
total
reeling
points.
Me in, though. It's getting a little closer here. We still got a long way to go. We go through the final four.
You yes. still got 14 points, so
closing
you
the gap.
Have that, you have that gap, but it's still. All you need is like a good week again.
All right. How did Derek do?
Derek, mm-hmm. you had a good week, but okay. Your individual picks, they were a mouthful. Yeah. You said that Ewers, I don't know why I said
Quinn Ewers.
Quinn Ewers would have 200 yards, 2 touchdowns, and Miami would win. I didn't look at any of that stuff because Miami didn't win.
So I didn't even check any of that.
So, but then you said Cam Ward would have 230 passing yards, 1 touchdown, 10 total rushing yards, which is insane, and a win. That did not happen.
Didn't he have 9 rushing yards?
Yeah, he had 9.
He also had 228 passing yards. He had 228
passing yards. The bullying works.
It works.
So I don't get no points?
No, well, from that, but you got 4 total points.
Oh, all right.
For a total of 63.
Quinn Ewers did throw 2 touchdown passes.
He did, but they didn't win, so it didn't matter.
They did not win.
Derek's parlay did not work out.
It was a parlay.
Yes. I guess yes. not.
And David, how'd you do?
Listen, guys, it's not a good week for me. I only got 1 point. Isaiah Horton didn't get a touchdown, and Marcel Reed just he did not have two passing touchdowns. It was not good. Yeah. It was not a good game for either or. But you know what? It's all about friendship.
Yes.
It's all about friendship. I got 1 point for 64 total points, but hey, it's about friendship. No one cares about winning. We don't care about winning.
Okay,
here.
Chris Sanders.
Think about the kids, guys. Think about the kids.
Only losers say that.
All right now.
All right, let's get to our common questions.
I can take points away, D-Mace.
That is true. Let's get to our common questions. We have one more Titans game. Titans at Jaguars on Sunday afternoon. Yes or no? Will Cam Ward extend his multi-touchdown streak to 5 games? Yes or no? Willie?
No.
Derek?
Wow, Willie. Hell yeah.
David?
Dale, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to say no as well. All right, we previewed this game briefly. Ravens at Steelers, Sunday night football. Ravens favored by 3.5 last I checked. AFC North title and playoff spot on the line. Who you got, Willie?
Ooh, you know, I keep thinking that the Ravens are going to become the Ravens again, but every time I watch them, they're still like, ooh, there's a lot missing there. And it's at Pittsburgh, but I'm going to go with them. I believe the Ravens have one big effort. I think they're better than the Steelers, and I think they will find a way to win.
So Willie is taking the Ravens. Derek, are you taking your former club?
Absolutely.
Now, are we doing the spread? Is it just pick the winner? Because it's a 4.5-point spread. Baltimore is favored by 4.5.
Well, you can do with it what you'd like. If you just want to pick the winner, you want to do the spread, that's up to you.
I will take the Ravens to win.
Okay. Ravens to win. Derek, you're also taking the Ravens
yes,
to win.
Absolutely.
David?
I think we all know the answer to this. It's the Ravens.
We can't not pick the Ravens.
All right.
I can't but Steelers.
For the purpose of being contrarian, I will take the Steelers. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to, but I need the points, so I will. All right. To our individual selections, I'll go first. As David just noted, I picked the Panthers to beat the Buccaneers a few weeks ago. That worked. I'm going to do it again. The Panthers will defeat the Buccaneers on Sunday in a massive game in the NFC South. I will also take the 49ers to defeat the Seahawks. The Seahawks are favored by 2.5. I'll take the Niners. Willie?
All right. I am going to... I will take... Isn't it crazy that the Lions are out? They're not... Yes. They have no chance? Like, after all the great things, that is an absolute stunner. But I will take the Seahawks to pull off the win against the 49ers, and I'm going to take the Panthers to upset the Bucks. So give me the Panthers +3 against the Bucks.
Derek?
And also Seahawks -2.5 against the 49ers.
Got that down.
Okay. I can go to.
You don't have to stick to the NFL.
Yeah, I don't have to stick to. I'm looking. Okay. All right. My first one is I am picking Miami to beat Ole Miss.
Okay.
That's my first one. And in that, Miami, no Bane will have two sacks in the game.
So your two choices are you're picking Miami
to win,
and Reuben Bain will have two sacks. Absolutely. Those are two separate choices. Just to be clear, we're not doing loopholes here.
No loopholes.
Okay.
Two separate.
We're closing the loopholes.
Yes,
the loopholes have been closed. All right, David, why don't you go?
They can be open if they wanted to, if you give me the right amount of money.
All right.
So here's the thing, guys. As a Ravens fan, I have watched this team play the Steelers a lot. It is a very intense rivalry because of it. Usually, it's like both teams either win or lose. Both like either one win one and one wins the other. So with this one, I am going to go with Derrick Henry will have two touchdowns, and then I'm trying to think what I want to do with this one. You know what? I'm going to go Ole Miss. Give me Ole Miss.
All righty.
Hey, by the way.
Yes.
Did anybody find it kind of odd in the game last night where it was a blatant face mask call that was missed that almost could have cost Ole Miss the game?
I don't recall this particular play.
There was a
blatant, obvious.
Oh, my goodness, it was blatant. That could have cost
Ole Miss. I must have
turned
away from the TV at that time.
The game, because at worst, they could have ran at least two more minutes off the clock, but because they didn't call, and it was so blatant. I don't know what the ref was looking at.
it was plain as day.
And you know what, Willie?
Right out in the middle of the open field. Like there was nobody else around.
What is this ref doing? That could have seriously. I guarantee you, had Georgia end up winning that game, they would have looked back on that play because that would have at least chewed up a minute and a half, 2 minutes more of the clock. It would have forced Georgia to possibly use their timeouts. And it didn't happen. Luckily, Ole Miss. But I saw that, and I'm like, and then you had the two pass interference. One was a pass interference, but the second one, it was like, seriously, that really wasn't a pass interference. It was almost like they wanted Georgia to stay in the game.
Well, Derek, I'm not going to let you off the hook before we end the show. So, I've been waiting
all day for this.
As I said at the beginning of the show, Happy New Year, because it is January 2nd. Okay. Per the laws of Larry David, you can say Happy New Year until January 7th. So before the show, as we were awaiting to come into the studio, Derek and I were chatting with Chase McCabe. And Derek said, oh my God. Derek said.
You want me to tell him?
No, I'm going to do it because I'm flabbergasted. Derek said that it would be acceptable.
Yes.
If you hadn't seen someone all
year. I said 3 months.
Right. Basically, this is what you said.
Yeah.
If you hadn't seen somebody in the year 2026 until March 1st, you could say Happy New Year.
Yeah.
That's
in
insane.
No, why?
Hold on. That
would be the first time I seen them.
There's a statute of limitations.
No, there's not no statute of limitations. When I see you, it's, hey, how you doing? Happy New Year to you.
God.
I hadn't seen you in a while. Happy New Year, man. Happy New
Year.
March.
Hey, Willie.
Oh, March.
Willie, listen, step in here.
Happy 4th of July and Happy New Year to you, buddy, because I hadn't seen you. Okay?
I'll give you January 20th.
Step in here, Willie.
I can go to March.
I can go to March. If I have not seen a good friend in 3 months, I'm like, Happy New Year to you, buddy. I haven't seen you since last year.
I may have given you February, but March?
This is what I would do if you and I
March Madness is about to start,
right?
What is this?
Happy March Madness and Happy New Year to you.
If I hadn't seen you since the beginning of 2026, and it was March 1st, and you said, "Hey Adam, great to see you. Happy New Year," I'd say, "What the hell are you talking about? It's March."
There's no statute of limitations
until
the new year runs out.
December 1st, you were like, oh, happy new year, guys.
Willie, I need a ruling.
D-Mace is out of his mind.
This is crazy.
I'm glad we all agree. Oh my God. That, I heard that before the show.
Happy
and
New
I,
Year.
I think it would have been a great debate if you'd have said like January 25th. Or
no,
even like
March 1st.
March 1st is that's just, we're,
that's
we're
just
way,
crazy.
Way
okay.
60 days.
All right. Before Man. One more thing. This doesn't have anything to do with Derek Mason, but this is a. And I don't mean for this to rhyme. A random fandom thing that I subscribe to, and I want to know if y'all think I'm crazy. So today, I went to the gym. Humble brag, I do work out from time to time. And as I was leaving, I noticed a woman at the gym wearing an Ohio State sweatshirt. A couple of days after Ohio State was eliminated from the college football playoff. And I saw that, and I said to myself, huh, you're wearing that? Today, and I am one of those fans where if my team loses a huge game, a tournament game, a championship game, a playoff game, and my team is eliminated, I feel like there is like, speaking of statute of limitations, I think there's like a grace period of no, you can't go out and wear your team's paraphernalia. Like after Duke lost to Houston in the Final Four last year, I don't think I wore Duke gear in public for like 2 weeks. I was just because I don't want someone coming up to me like, oh, that was a tough one the other night. Shut up. I know. So I saw this woman wearing the Ohio State sweatshirt and I was like, huh, you're wearing that today? Maybe wait a week? Am I alone in this?
I mean, I wouldn't want to be asked if I was wearing a Michigan State shirt after they just got beat down.
Yeah.
That was a tough game. No stuff, Sherlock. I know it was a tough game. So I'm with you, Adam. I wouldn't want to wear it right after we got
Willie,
beat down.
Willie, where are you on this?
That part I get, but I love the pride. I love the pride of coming back. I will. You've got to stick with your team through thick and thin. I like the representation of, I'm still with my people, my school, my team. After a tough loss. So go ahead. Wear that Buckeye.
I just wear my Michigan State undies. That's all. So nobody can see them.
You're still showing your pride in just a different way. And that'll do it for us.
Michigan State underoos.
That'll do it for us this week. We will be back Monday at 3 o'clock. We'll react to the Titans' final regular season game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Of course, you can catch Willie Donick and the FanDuel Sports Network crew calling the Predators game tomorrow night in Calgary. Willie has been gone for like a month. We'll see him next week,
big
finally.
Game. Yes. Big game tomorrow.
Big game tomorrow. Another 4-point game. You can catch Willie Donick. You can also catch Max Herz and Hal Gill on the call right here on 102.5 The Game. But have a wonderful weekend. Happy New Year, because you're still allowed to say it. For a few more days, and we'll talk to you Monday at 3 o'clock.
Be love, loving your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful start to your new year 2026. I love you. The team loves you. You hear that music. Don't you forget us, because we will not forget about you ever. See you Monday at 3 p.m. on 102.5 The Game. Peace. Happy New Year!